how it continually steers us in the right direction. Amen. Chapter 5, a very familiar story in the Word of God. I'm sure you've heard numerous messages. It won't be, I'm sure, anything new. He's often called the maniac or the Gadarian maniac. I want to preach tonight on the basic ways sin does. Oftentimes we look at a story in the Word of God and we just see the surface. I'll pray in a moment, but I want to say this. It starts with a man. It says there was a man, but he didn't start out as a man. You see, we heard the story a moment ago of Samson. We heard about his birth and a little bit about his youth and then about his life. And sometimes we read about people in the Word of God, we read about their birth, we read about their early life, like Samuel, and how the Lord blessed him to be born into this world, and then other things as they grew. This man, we hear about him as a man, but one day he was a boy, a little baby. He had a mommy, a daddy. He may have had brothers and sisters. But the Bible says he had friends. The Bible said he had a home. Amen. And a lot of times, because we don't see the background, we don't realize there is a background. But something happened to this boy that by the time he's a man, he's a maniac. And the thing I think the world is so blinded about today is what sin is doing to their children and to the youth of America. Because there's a blindness, there's a veil over their eyes. They can't recognize what Satan is doing. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. You pray with us as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we recognize, Lord, the seriousness of the moment as much as we can humanly. But I'm sure you see it far more than we can see it. Because you can see all eternity, and we only see a little because of what we read in your word. We know a lot about it. But Lord, this world is really keeps our focus so much from seeing all the things that your word tells us about. And I'd pray the Holy Ghost, Lord, would have liberty to work through me and through the message. And Lord, to touch a life that would need to be changed tonight. And Lord, that life would be changed forever. Lord, there's no way that any of us can do what needs to be done. And Lord Jesus, you said without you, we could do nothing. And so we can't do anything without you. I pray tonight that you would help us now. And Lord, you said we'd humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, you would exalt us in due time. You'd exalt us in due season. Lord, there's no way I could express how much I need you this evening. And no one in this building could express how much they need you. But Lord, we need you so badly. I pray now for our nation. I pray now, Lord, for Butler, for this county. Amen. I pray, Lord, for the people that's sitting under the tent tonight. Lord, we can't focus outside. We know it's a mess. We know the country's a mess. But Lord, you brought a group together under this tent tonight. Yes. And so now we narrow our focus down to this place at this moment. I sense that I am very incapable for the things that you want to accomplish. Help us now. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said earlier, oftentimes we forget, but we don't think about the things that's maybe not written. And the Bible says even about the life of Jesus, if everything had been written about him himself and all the things he did, the world couldn't hold the volumes. As we heard tonight, 20 years Samson ruled, but only a little part of his life we really read about. And that's really the way it is all through the Word of God. We don't know a lot about a lot of people, but what we know about them teaches us something. And in this case, we know enough about this man that we can learn a lot that'll help us. Amen. The first thing I find about this man and about sin, the life of sin is a life of death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This life of sin causes everything to die.
That's right.
Yeah.
You see, there was a day he had a home. That home is dead. There was a day he had a family. He no longer has a family. There was a day he had friends. He no longer has friends. There was a day he had freedom. He no longer has freedom. There was a day that he could smile. He no longer smiles. There was a day his life was different than it is here in this chapter. Amen. May I say to you, Satan is subtle, just like he was with Eve in the garden, just like he was with Samson, just like he was with others in the Word of God. And he makes people think that a sin is not as bad as it really is. But the Word of God tells us, God's Word is to make us to understand that sin is exceedingly sinful. And so when he says the wages of sin is death, oh, tonight there's people that's planning their days over the next several weeks, and by the time they get through just the next several days, many things will die in their life. Matter of fact, Satan is the author of everything that destroys people's life. He's a liar and the father of it. Amen. So we find in verse number 1, the Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Here is a man living in the tombs. Here's a man that is going back in these caves that are dug out in the rock where people have buried their family. And that's where he lives. It was not unusual, as we heard in one of the messages last night, like the cave of Machpelah where Abraham was buried, and he buried Leah. Others were buried all the way up to, we remember, Leah was buried. Amen. And I believe Jacob was carried there.
Right.
And Joseph, probably, when they brought his bones out, amen.
Yep.
And can you imagine maybe 10, 15, 20, or 30 people buried, and this is a burying place of a family, and that's where he lived. He dwelt in those tombs, amen. His life was a life of deadness because sin had so affected his life. And then the Word of God says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. May I say to you tonight, a life of sin is a life that is directed by unclean spirits. We're living in a day of demonic forces more than we can understand. The Bible tells us in the last days, and we're living in those days, they would be seducing spirits. We're talking about not everyone is demonic, not everyone is possessed, but if you're lost without God tonight, your life is being motivated by unclean spirits. The very fact that you're on your way to hell and haven't done anything about it is proof that a seducing spirit is affecting your life. You see, no person would plan their life to go to hell. No person would plan their life to burn in the flames of eternal hell forever and ever. But seducing spirits speak to people every day and say, just put it off. Just wait. Just don't do anything about it right now. You've got plenty of time, and you can do it some other time. You don't have to do anything today. The Bible says this man had unclean spirits. When Jesus spoke to them in this chapter, he called them unclean spirits. I said to someone the other day, it's impossible for a doctor to go to college and university for maybe 8 or 10 or 12 years to be some sort of a specialist and then not be able to recognize that God made human beings male and female. You have to be somehow bothered by some kind of a spirit. Amen. And so here's a man, the Bible says that he's living among the tombs and he's filled with these unclean spirits. The Bible says in verse number 3, that he's dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. The life of sin is a life of slavery. He was bound by far more power than the chains they tried to hold him with. He was bound by the clutches of evil that he could do nothing to set himself free. I've seen men all my life, numerous times, who was bound in sin and could not set free. I've seen them bound in the sin of alcohol. I've seen them bound in the sin of adultery and all sorts of vileness and wickedness, amen. I've gotten the automobiles of men who are weeping and screaming and crying and saying, oh, this is what I'm in. This is what's going to happen to me. And I say, you need the Lord. You need Jesus. You need to be saved by the grace of God. Yes. And I've seen them turn the Lord down because that vice, that sin, had them so bound. You see, this man was bound such a way that when they tried to bind him to keep him from living the way he was living, no chains they bound him with could hold him. You keep living a life of sin, sin will wrap its tentacles around you and around you and around you. There may be a day in your life you'd like to be free from that, but you can't get free.
Come on, preacher. That's right.
I had a man weep in my presence. He asked me to go and ride in him in his vehicle. And he said, and he began to weep. He said, I'm in trouble. I said, what's the matter? He said, I'm committing adultery. And the woman has told me that if I don't divorce my wife, she's going to tell my wife. I said, the only hope you've got is Jesus. I said, the only thing you can do is cry out to God for mercy. Go home and tell your wife the truth, and the consequences may not be good, but the only hope you've got, you're living in slavery and bondage and wickedness, and there's no hope for you outside of Jesus Christ. But I told him the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, would cleanse him from all sin. Amen. This man was bound in his sin. He was bound by his life. Even though they brought chains and fetters to hold him, they could not. He broke them away, man. There's folks tonight, my friend, would kill for another drug addict dose. They would do crime to get another bottle of whiskey, amen. They would do great damage to a human life just to have a few handfuls of dollars to go buy another hit, amen.
Yes, sir. You're right. Sir.
Preach.
You're preaching right.
Yep. I've sat down with folks who wept and bawled and cried and told me about their addictions and how, oh, preacher, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free. But they turned down the only source that could set them free. Sat one night with a young man who was demonic. He was a youth pastor in a Methodist church, a large Methodist church. His mother had called that we'd come and speak to him. And we arrived in their home and began to talk to him. And he began to say about his horrible life and the wickedness and the filth that he was involved in with young ladies in that church. He would start weeping and say, preacher, I'm in such trouble. I'm in such trouble. And we would say, Jesus can set you free. Jesus can deliver you. And the demon would speak and say, but you won't have those women anymore. We stayed there and prayed with this young man and talked to this young man. And I heard the devil speak to him and talk him out of getting saved. Not long after that, he took a gun into a restaurant, and he's in prison today for what he done. Are you listening? No one planned his life to be that way. His mama never planned his life to be that way. He never planned it to be that way. But he began to take steps. I don't know what steps this man took, but somewhere he began to take steps, my friend, that led him in a direction that living among the tombs was his life.
You're right, Greg.
Amen. The life of sin, my friend, is motivated by unclean spirits, and the life of sin is a life of slavery in one way or another. We heard tonight in the message, and what a message it was, tremendous message about keeping secrets from parents. There's young people across this country tonight that they wish they had never done what they done, never went where they went, never was with the people they was with, but they can't go and turn it back. Only Jesus can help them. The life of sin, the basic principles of sin, is always bad. No one ever turned out better by being in sin. The Word of God says they bound him with chains, that the chains couldn't hold him. Verse number 4 says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. We understand tonight the power of sin and how terrible it is. And we understand tonight there's not one thing we can do personally to help you get out of the problem you're in. But we can invite you to a person who can set you free. And his name is Jesus. Amen. There's a name given among us. There's a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee one day is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And Jesus, my friend, can deliver you. Amen.
Amen.
The life of sin is a life opposite of normality. It is not normal to live in a cemetery. We're living in an abnormal age. And we walked in a restaurant not long ago, and I looked at a young lady and looked the way her body was tattooed and scarred by her sin. I was in an automobile dealership the other day and saw a beautiful girl with a big spider web tattooed on her neck. Are you listening to me? If you'd have went to a prostitute house 50 years ago and offered that tattoo to a prostitute, she'd have said, I'd never do anything that wicked. We've come to an age, my friend, that Satan has been so subtle that he's brought upon people a life of abnormality. There's nothing normal about giving your life over to the devil. There's nothing normal about doing all the things that Satan wants to do to you to destroy you. Can you imagine, as we look at a little baby, the mom's holding a little baby boy or a little baby girl, and they grow, and maybe they're now a year, 2 years old, and we look at them, can you imagine in our mind, we focus in our mind and think, well, it would be nice if they had a tattoo here or a hole there or something done here and there. We would never think that way. That would be absolutely away from our mind. We'd never even think such a thought, amen. But Satan is thinking that all the time. He's working day and night to get every child that he possibly can. I do not know when he captured the mind of this maniac of Gadara. I don't know when he captured his heart, but somewhere along the way, he did get his attention. It may have been just like we heard about Samson tonight, and I'm not trying to overpreach the message, but it goes along just so well, it's a good place for me to be, amen. I mean, maybe he started just steering off the path here and there, just making little corner turns away from the will of God, maybe not listening to his mom and dad, maybe not paying attention to what they were telling him. And as he began to make those steps little by little, he got deeper and deeper and deeper in trouble, amen. That there come a day when he wanted out, he could not get out, amen. The life of sin doesn't make a person normal. It makes them abnormal. It is not normal to not to be wanting to be with your parents. It's not normal to want to be in a situation where your life is enslaved to some addiction or some problem. Amen, amen. Me and my wife's been witnessing and trying to help a young man. His life is such turmoil, it's unbelievable. And just the other day at my house, I said to him, son, don't you understand? Jesus is the only hope for you, son. It's the only way. There's nothing else can help you, my son. Listen, you've got to listen to God and get your heart right with God.
Yes, that's right.
The life of sin is always destructive to the human body.
Right.
You see, Satan hates the body because it's made in the image of God. If you go into any jungle place where there's witchcraft and voodoo and all the filthiness of the world, you'll find their bodies mutilated. You'll find their ears stretched to the hang on their shoulders. You'll find their nose with holes on both sides big enough for a bone to go through. You'll find their bodies tattooed with all sorts of images and things on it, amen. And it's amazing how they scar their bodies and do the things to their body, amen. Because Satan hates every human body. We find this man, Satan has tricked him. And always, night and day, in verse 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I've preached in a federal prison and preached in local prisons, amen. And I've seen men hold onto the bars and weep and cry and talk about, if I could just get out of here. I said, you're in a far bigger prison, son, than you ever thought about being in when you're out there, unless you have Jesus. Amen, amen. God is saying to us, here's a man, his life is led up through his childhood, his teenage years, and his youth, and his young life, and now he's a man, he's living in the tombs. He's crying and cutting himself with stones. We remember when Ted Bundy was executed in Florida, they put signs on the McDonald's restaurants that said, free fries when Bundy fries. Can any of you remember that? We've about forgot it, haven't we? A man who raped and killed and molested women and took their lives. But he didn't start off that way. My understanding, he said, he started with Sears and Roebuck catalogs. We think that there's all sorts of little just funny things.
Yeah.
But Satan is subtle. Yep. Satan is subtle. And he'll trick and he'll fool you, my friend, until he takes away every bit of your liberty. And turns you into a slave. Now we have the cell phone and the internet and the computer. It's far outstretched the wickedness that television ever thought about, amen. And we find young people enslaved to it, and they're locked into it, and they don't realize that Satan, little by little by little, is taking their life. Amen, amen. Mom and Dad, you better wise up. You better wise up about what you're allowing in your home. We're living today when now even the cartoons are filled with trash and garbage. Amen. I don't want to be ugly, but I tell you, if there's a cartoon about youth, it'll be a young lady with her waist about that big around, and her rear end is big, and her bust is big, and about half of it showing in her clothes. That's a cartoon.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
we're living a day when Satan has entered every little crevice he can to wreck and ruin every young person he possibly can. And if we don't open our eyes up, my friend, there's going to be millions more just like this Gadaran maniac. Amen. He's made his way into Hollywood for years, but now he has the internet and the access to the young people's lives. And not only that, my friend, I'm finding older people that's becoming addicted and enslaved to the filthiness that Satan is producing. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. What happened to this man? We're not sure, but we know one thing now. He's enslaved to his sin. He cannot be held by human beings. They can't do anything for him. They can't stop the way he's living. He's living in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Satan will never leave you as well off as he finds you. I've seen many people get saved, but their life was so scarred, and there's so many deep scars in their life that can never, ever get their life on a level plane. Sometimes because 3 or 4 marriages and 6 or 7, 8 or 10 children, and it's such a mixed up mess, they can't have a normal life. Had a man that got saved a number of years ago. He was in a bar and was shot right in the kneecap with a 45. He got born again. Infection. He fought infection after infection after infection. Finally, they cut his knee off, his leg off right above the knee, and then they cut it off here, and then they cut it off here. And infection, infection after infection. The last time I sat in the hospital with him, he said, "Preacher, at least I got saved. Amen. I wrecked my life, but thank God I got saved." Are you listening? Don't think that you can just play with evil and evil have no effect. The wage of sin is death. You can't play with the devil's play parties. You can't play with all the things he entices you with, because they'll draw you to a place of death. This man is cutting himself. He gets saved in this chapter. But there's nothing that tells us the scars is going away.
Right.
I know numerous people, my friend, that would stand and say, "I'd give anything if I could take the scars away from my life.
Preach.
Yeah, if I could remove the things that scarred my life, I'd take them away."
What,
he's crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran. He had enough understanding he needed the Lord, amen. He's got two forces pulling. The devil don't want him saved, but Jesus wants him saved.
Amen.
Tonight, sitting in his tent, there's two forces pulling, my friend.
That's right.
There's young people sitting across this country in churches and tent meetings and revivals, sitting in places just like we're here tonight. And the Word of God goes out. And Satan says, if you get saved, you'll have to quit doing what you're doing. You and your girlfriend, you and your boyfriend, their life will have to change. You're going to have to live a different life if you get saved. I've preached in meetings where a young man would look over at his girlfriend and she'd look over him at the invitation, and both of them was noticeably touched with the gospel. But the one was watching the other to see what they'd do.
Yes, sir.
And I've seen them finally both drop their heads, and I knew what had happened. Satan had convinced them just to go on like they was, just to keep on in the same direction, put it all to another time. But I've also been at the funeral home. I've seen a mother put her whole body over in the casket and pull her little teenage girl up to her and said, "I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I'd have done different." I thought as I stood there by her, "It's too late, Mom. It's too late. You should have thought about this a long time ago."
Yeah, that's right.
"Absalom, Absalom," David cried, "I would have died for you, Absalom." "Too late, David. It's too late." Thank God in this man's life there was still time. Sin had wrecked and ruined his life. But they run, he and the devils, the demons, the spirits. And here's what they understood. The life of sin ends in torment.
Right.
The Bible said in verse 7, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." In one text it says, "Before our time."
Right.
Do you understand tonight that you don't have the clock in your hand? You don't have the timepiece. My son called me today. He's telling me about a man we went to witness to many, many, many times. Many times. I couldn't tell you the times. Was in his home, knocked on his door, give him gospel tracts. He had a humble attitude. He would receive any message, but he never got saved. At the mines in the dark one night when the fog had moved in on the surface mine real bad, he backed an excavator over a high wall 300 feet. His life was taken. We wept about his life and thought, oh my, how pitiful. The next day, he was killed. He was probably dead for 3 or 4 hours before the mines even found him. The next day in the yard, his wife sold his belongings in a yard sale. What a mess. Satan had robbed everything from that man. You see, he never planned to go out to work that night and not come home. He never planned to back an excavator over a cliff. What happens in an excavator, if you've ever run one, if you're going forward and your pedal's forward and you spin an excavator 180 degrees, that pedal now is reverse. And when you're on a job in the dark and the coal mine's on a cliff that's 300 foot, which we call a high wall, and you're spinning and you're moving that thing, and the fog comes in, it's just like flying a helicopter. If you don't have your wits with you, you'll forget which way you're pushing that pedal. And there's no question he swung that bucket around and pushed that pedal to go forward, but in a 180 degree turn, it goes backwards. And before he could get his foot off the pedal, he went over that high wall. I wonder how many this week in America, through one way or another, have checked out of this world. I remember one morning, I see some families along the highway that we knew, and we stopped. They said, we're looking for our daughter. I said, well, tell me about it. She said, she was in such and such a car last night, and she never come home. And we started searching, and finally we saw tracks where they went over the mountain. At about 150 yards down that mountain, we went down to where her automobile was. She was sitting in the seat, dead. We had to take the seatbelt off of her and help them carry her body up that mountain back to the top. Nobody planned on that. Nobody planned on that. You say, preacher, why do you tell those stories? Because God uses all these examples in the Word of God and tells us, what is your life? It is just a vapor. It appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Here's a person. We don't know his name. But he had one opportunity, as far as we know, to come to Jesus. And he didn't waste it.
Amen.
He had one opportunity to miss the torments of hell,
yep,
and he never wasted it.
Yes,
it's kind of like Zacchaeus. He had one opportunity to see Jesus, and he never wasted it.
Right.
It's like the woman at the well. She had one opportunity to see Jesus, and she never wasted it.
Yeah.
And you may be tonight having your last opportunity to see Jesus. It may not be your last, but I can only tell you the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. There is no way I can say you got much more opportunities left. But I can tell you tonight, you can get saved tonight.
Amen.
He come and ran, crying. For he said unto him, Jesus spoke, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. We found out in the text that there were many of them in him. But when that man was delivered by the Lord, he was set free from the bondage. We know the story. The demonic spirits went into the hogs. They drowned themselves. The people come out from the city, from the places where they lived, to see what had been taking place because someone run and told them. They said, Jesus, depart. We don't want you here anymore. Get away from us. They'd rather have the hog business than to have Jesus. But the man that was delivered says this, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Here's a man that was naked and cutting himself and screaming in the tombs. They tried to chain him and couldn't help him. They bound him with fetters and chains and he broke them asunder. Now the Bible says they found him clothed in his right mind. The world didn't want Jesus, but this man did. In verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee.
Amen.
And hath had compassion on thee.
Praise.
He didn't even wait till he got home. As soon as he entered the next village, he began to tell them what Jesus has done for him.
Amen.
He began to tell them about how he was bound by the devil and how the Lord had set him free.
Amen.
I wonder tonight, could that be your life tomorrow? Or could that be your life before daylight in the morning? You're calling folks and saying, I tell you, the Lord saved me tonight. I gave my life to Jesus. I repented and turned to Him in faith. He saved my soul. Amen. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. God has opened the door through His Son. He is the door to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. This man had one opportunity that we know of, and he took it. Though sin leaves a person enslaved, Jesus sets a person free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This tent meeting tonight may just be for you. The Lord sent Philip into the desert for one Ethiopian. This tent meeting could just be for you. It could be for several. But the question tonight is, what will you do with Jesus? This man ran to him. No one would be able to help this man. But Jesus set him free. You might be here tonight playing around outside the will of God like Samson. And maybe you need to just say, Lord, I'm tired of this way. And I'm going to get some things straight with you tonight. What will you do with Jesus tonight? This man ran to him. And Jesus set him free. Maybe you're bound to that electronic device that's capturing your everyday's activity with its wickedness. There's not a Christian school that hasn't had to deal with it. There's not a Christian college that hasn't had to deal with it. And there's very few Christian homes that hasn't had to deal with it. And we act like it's not a dangerous thing. You'd be shocked tonight to know how many in this building have had a wrestling match with it. What about you tonight? What will you do about how the spirits of this world is directing your life? When he says in 1 Timothy, seducing spirits, he's talking about them seducing Christians. They can't possess a Christian, but they can sure influence a Christian. What are you going to do tonight? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, as best I know, Lord, I've preached what you laid on my heart. I pray for us tonight, Lord, that the Spirit of God would have liberty to work among us, touch lives. Lord, you wouldn't have sent the message if you hadn't had intention to touch someone's life with it. We thank you for what you do, Lord, and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
If you'd stand your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed, you and God probably know whether you need to respond to that invitation.